So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is the show after Halloween. I got a few emails from listeners wanting to know why I didn't do a show on Halloween because of its pagan origins and that sort of a thing. I actually think the first year I did a show, I did one on Halloween, but it wasn't really going into the origins that much. See, I don't look at Halloween going back to the origins, how it was started, as that being the holiday that we have today. It's all about the candy, the dressing up, having fun for the kids. You know, just let them have a good time. That's how I look at it. So I actually forgot when I did the show last week that Halloween was coming up, so I didn't mention anything about it. So this week, Halloween has already come and gone. So apologize for not saying anything. But it brings up kind of a dumb law in a little town here in North Carolina called Apex. Now, Apex is up near Raleigh, and it's in an area called the Research Triangle. And this little town of Apex, in 1972, passed an ordinance that you cannot trick-or-treat if you are more than 12 years old, and you can't give out candy after 9 o'clock at night. Now, how dumb is that, folks? I mean, first of all, it's up to you when you want to give out candy. When you turn the porch light off, people quit knocking on your door. If you want to stop at 8, that's fine. If you want to stop at midnight, that's fine. Most of the time, kids aren't out after 9 o'clock anyway, especially if it's on a school night. So I don't understand that. And what's the thing about older than 12? I mean, come on. I mean, some of my best years I remember trick-or-treating was, you know, in the 13, 14, 15-year-old range. And I actually trick-or-treated my senior year in high school. I was only 17 because I started school a year early. So when I started my senior year, I was only 16 years old. And then a week or so before Halloween, I turned 17. So technically, I was a 17-year-old when I went trick-or-treating my senior year in high school. But it was a lot of fun. I realized at that point that was the last year I was going to be able to do it. And it was nice. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And, you know, one guy actually asked me how old I was, and I told him, I said 17. He said, well, thank you for being honest, and he gave me some candy anyway. And then as I got older, into my mid-20s, I started getting involved with Halloween again, not with the trick-or-treating aspect of going out or taking somebody else's kids with me, but giving out the candy and getting into the whole Halloween spirit myself. Now, this was back before everybody really started decorating for Halloween like they do now. Now, my goodness, that more people, I think, decorate their yards for Halloween than they do for Christmas, for crying out loud. But back then, nobody really put out Halloween decorations. And what I would do is I would go to the last gun show before Halloween, and I'd buy a couple dozen colored light sticks. And then I'd take white kitchen garbage bags, and I would snap the light stick, tie a string to it, inflate the garbage bag, tie the string around it, drop the light stick in there. And I would hang these things in the trees all over the front yard and in the pampas grass along the driveway. And it was just really cool when it got dark. I mean, there's these glowing orbs just hanging in the midair and in the pampas grass, which made the pampas grass glow, which was really spooky looking. And then what I would do is I would take my motorcycle and point it down the driveway, point the car down the driveway, and I would put on my uniform and hang my helmet from the handlebars, and I would use it for a candy dish. So I'd go to Sam's and get a bag of 600 Tootsie Rolls for a couple bucks, and I'd reach in and give everybody a big handful of candy, and they loved it. And it got to the point where every year, people used to love to come by the yard because I had all the glowing stuff out there. And what I would do is when somebody came in the driveway, I would hit the wigwags on the motorcycle and then reach over and turn on the blue light in the car. And literally half the block was just illuminated in white and blue lights. It was really, really cool because my blue light is an old style one from the 1970s before they came out with the flashers and the strobes and things like that. This is one of those old fashioned ones. It actually has three magnifying lenses on it. So as this thing is rotating, I mean, it's literally sending out these beacons of light, and put a mirror behind it and oh my God, just lights all over the place. It looked like there was a dozen cars in my front yard. It was really, really cool. And one year, I'm sitting out there watching, and these two black kids are coming down the street, and they hit one of the houses across the street, and they came out, and then they split. One went to the house directly across the street, and the other one stepped in the driveway. So I hit the wigwags, I reached over and turned on the blue light, and he literally froze. This kid was about maybe 9 or 10 years old, and he literally froze. Then he dropped the bag of candy and put his hands over his head and just stood there. I'm like, dude, you want some candy? He's like, huh? I said, you want some candy? He's like, yeah. I said, well, come on up. So he came up and I reached in the helmet and I grabbed a big old fistful of Tootsie Rolls and dropped them in his bag. He's like, wow, man, that's a lot of candy. He turns around, goes back out to the end of the driveway and hollers at his friend. Hey, man, go over here to the sheriff's yard. He's like, huh? He says, yeah, come over to the sheriff's yard. I just made out like a bandit. So it got to the point where the kids would come around for the light show every year, and it was really cool. But I finally stopped it when most of the kids coming by were kids that weren't from our neighborhood. They were being driven in, and half of them weren't even wearing costumes. I mean, come on. If you're going to participate in Halloween, you know, put something on. I mean, at least tie a bandana over your face and put a cap gun on your belt and call yourself a bandit or something. I mean, just do something. Don't just walk around without anything. But I used to have a lot of fun on Halloween. One year, I was standing out there, and I wasn't really paying attention, and all of a sudden I heard this loud crash from across the street diagonally from me, and I saw two kids running out of the yard. Well, that loud crash was the sound of a brick going through their picture window. It turned out to be a gang initiation. So I took off after him. Now, let me explain something to you folks. I don't know about now because I turned 50 next year, but when I was young, I was fast. In 7th grade, I could do the 50-yard dash in 5.0, which is 25 miles an hour. Usain Bolt is only 3 miles an hour faster than I was in the 7th grade. So literally, no one could catch me and no one could get away from me. And I was wearing engineer boots, and they had a half-block head start on me, but I still caught them at the end of the road. And it turned out that it was a gang initiation, and the family across the street, their daughter, had been having problems with these girls, and they decided to come over and put a brick through the window for the initiation on Halloween night. Nice times, eh? George is pointing out to me that the sprinter's name is Usain Bolt. I know this, George. I called him Hussein deliberately. Thank you. So anyway, that's my Halloween stuff. And by the way, I got to apologize, folks. I sound kind of bass again this week. I still got that bronchitis type thing, so my voice is still a little bit low and rough and raspy. I do apologize for that. So if you hear me clear my throat every now and then, I do apologize because, as I've told you before, I do not have a cough button. For some reason, this mic did not come with one. But anyway, I just wanted to share that insipid story from Apex, North Carolina about the semi-ban on trick-or-treating. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous to put a moratorium on trick-or-treating. That should really obviously be up to the people to decide whether they want to give some big kids some candy or give them a chiding or something. I don't know. Anyway, another interesting thing happened here in North Carolina. I'm going to do this, then probably be time to hit some commercials. And when I come back, I want to actually go over stuff in Las Vegas because I found an interview from a witness who was there, and the liberals are not happy with this interview. But the other interesting thing that happened, actually it was last Friday in Charlotte. I listen to talk radio in the morning. So we listen to I listen to the local guy, and then at noon Rush comes on. But from 9 to noon is a local talk show guy. And this guy, he's just recently moved to Charlotte a few months ago, and he hasn't bought a house. A listener called in and said, hey, you know, my parents have a room over their garage, kind of like Fonzie on Happy Days. So he lives in this room over this garage. Unfortunately, the owners are nudists. So he comes home to landlords who are wearing absolutely no clothes. So on Friday morning, somebody called in to his radio show and said, hey, there's some naked guy walking down Interstate 485. Do you know where your landlords are? So, of course, he thought it was a joke and put the guy on. And as it turned out, some guy was walking down, I think it was the outer loop, it could have been the inner loop, one direction or the other, of Interstate 485, I think down in the Pineville area, just south of Charlotte. And all of a sudden, other people started calling, and they were driving by and calling and saying, yeah, this is true. There really is this guy walking naked down the side of the interstate. And traffic was heavy, and of course people were slowing down to look, and that was backing things up, and things were backing up on the other side of the road, and it was just creating a real mess. And somebody called in and said the guy looked Hispanic. Somebody else called in and said, no, it wasn't a Mexican. You know, the guy's Asian. So, I don't know. Eventually, the cops showed up. CMPD showed up and Highway Patrol showed up. There was about 12 officers that showed up and put some clothes on the guy. Somebody called in and said he was wearing, I think, red shorts and a yellow shirt, a yellow shorts and a red shirt. I don't remember how it went. But anyway, they brought him into custody. I have not found if it actually made the news that night, so I don't know the guy's name. Just from that one description, he was an Asian guy. A what? No, George, I do not think his last name was Wang. No. Long Duck Dong was on 16 Candle. Be quiet, all right? Just let me do the story. So as far as I know, we don't know the guy's name. Obviously, it was not Long Duck Dong, nor was it Mr. Wang. Thank you, George. I still got a couple of minutes before the break. So let me just spend a couple of minutes here talking about Colin Kaepernick. Now, as you remember, he is the one that got down on his knees like a little pansy to protest during the national anthem at football games, claiming he was not un-American, he was just taking the opportunity to take a stand by taking a knee. Yeah, bunch of garbage. Well, he didn't get signed on with the NFL. See, Mr. Genius decided he was going to be a free agent this year, and then he started all that crap. And all of a sudden, he was like a hot potato, and nobody wanted to touch him, and nobody signed him. And he's standing there scratching his nappy head trying to figure out what's going on here, how things went wrong and why they went wrong, because all he was doing was standing up for the rights of the poor black people who were being brutalized by the white police, yada, yada, yada. Never really understanding that most people saw it for what it really was, an anti-American stance by a left-wing pinko commie. George said, actually, he's a brown commie. Well, okay. Either way, didn't get signed. Out looking for work. Expect to see him flipping burgers at McDonald's somewhere. But it turns out just the other day, he has actually signed a deal, but not with the NFL. He has signed a book deal. Now, I don't know who the publisher is, and I don't know what the book is about, because I didn't read too in-depth into the article. But think about this for a minute. If nobody is going to sign you up to play football, do you really think people are going to buy your book? Get real, dude. Most of the people that are in love with you can't read anyway. So I hope he falls flat on his face in this endeavor, just like he did with the whole botched thing about getting on his knees for the national anthem. Let me tell you something, folks. When a grown man gets down on his knees, it only means one thing as far as I'm concerned. And this dude got what he deserved. Coming up on a break here, so I'll be back after some commercials, but I had a listener send This is the first request I've ever gotten. I kind of feel like a DJ now as opposed to a podcaster. But I actually got a song request from a listener who wanted me to play a Ukrainian nationalist song by a group called Sabaton. It's called Resist and Bite. Now, I'm not sure if I'll have enough time to get to it this week, because coming back, I do want to cover the whole thing about Las Vegas with that interview, because it's really, really cool, and it's probably going to take up the whole second half. If it comes up kind of close, I may just run the song itself as my outro, but I'm also kind of debating trying to get in touch with Vladimir Putin and see what he has to think about this song. So I may just come back next week and do that if I choose the latter. Either way, Mike, I will get your song out there. If it's not this week, it will be next week. In the meantime, I'm going to take a break and back. Probably 2-3 minutes out.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. You know, that's one of those bumpers where you have absolutely no leeway whatsoever. Most of them, they give you that fade out to where you can kind of get your stuff ready to go at the last moment and kind of fade in. That one, no. If I'm not ready to go, then producer George makes me look really, really bad. So that's why he doesn't pull that one too often. Fortunately, however, I am professional and I was ready to go, despite the fact that my cat is an idiot. Okay, so now let me get to this interview with this woman. Her name is Brandi Sanderson. She and her husband, Jay, had attended all three nights of the festival back there in Las Vegas during the shooting. And they were really, really close to the stage on the last night when everything went down. So I'm going to kind of skip through this here. Question, did you hear any gunfire prior to the automatic weapon going off? She said, honestly, it sounded like firecrackers. When the second round hit, that's when we realized it was gunfire. Well, what was your first reaction? Did you run? Did you see anybody get hit? And she says, during the second round, we wanted to run, but we couldn't. All the concertgoers squeezed together to get close to the stage. All we could do was get close to the ground. We had to wait through several rounds for others to start moving. They asked, was security directing you? She says, no, it was absolute chaos with lots of screaming, crying, and people begging for it to stop. At one point, I looked up and saw a security guy in a yellow shirt standing in an area behind the stage where a barricade was removed, and that's where we ran to. Next question. At that point, did you know where the gunfire was coming from? Did you see anyone with a gun? Now, pay attention to this, folks. She replies, didn't know where it was coming from. I will stick to my story that there were multiple shooters. You could hear well-coordinated gunfire. It was coming from all directions. When we ran, we ended up between a tour bus and a white trailer. The gunfire started to get closer to us as if someone was walking our way. That is very, very important, folks. She's indicating multiple shooters, including someone on the ground. Now, they asked her what was running through your head, and she replied, "My husband and I reacted differently. We both thought we were going to die. He started calling family members to say goodbye. I started crying to our son. He was injured in Afghanistan and would call us during combat to say, 'I love you.' We would always hear in his voice that something was off. They were on the phone together for the final two rounds of gunfire. I started crying, but then looked around at all the kids laying there with us. My mama bear mode kicked in because the gunfire was getting closer. I told, again, the gunfire is moving in. I told a couple of young girls, 'If it goes sideways, you need to hide under that bus.'" Amazing, huh? Now, let's see. Okay, what happened next? "A female officer was standing there protecting us. She looked just as scared as we were." I bet I would be too, folks, in all honesty. "I wanted to run immediately, but my husband told me no. The path from our spot is along a long, open area in the dirt where there was nowhere to hide. After the last round, a male officer told us to run. How 100 people got up immediately and ran without tripping is amazing. When it was our time to run, I initially tripped over someone. I went down hard on my knees. My husband lifted me up, and that's when we got to the trailer. We were told to run along the path behind the stage to the parking area. It was all open. I couldn't run far because my knees were in a lot of pain from cracking on the asphalt. When we reached the parking lot, we found a guy who she thinks was an undercover cop. He had intel that there were active shooters on multiple properties." Remember that, folks. Coming from an undercover cop. "We moved with him. We stopped next to a white truck and were planning our path when we heard a little voice. Two teenage girls were hiding in the bed of the truck." Now, that is coming from multiple sources that there were multiple shooters. Now, another question. "Do you feel the media has accurately represented what you experienced that night?" And she replies, "The FBI immediately reported that it had no terrorist ties." Really? Aren't they still chasing their tail and trying to find evidence on the Trump-Russia collusion? But they know immediately all of this guy? "The photos that were leaked of the crime scene were also suspect. Why were there spent casings on top of his blood? Why was there a large gun placed over his leg? Also, what investigation do you know of where they immediately release photographs?" That's a good point. They always keep this stuff until they know what's going on. Again, she says, "It sounded like multiple shooters that night. The gunfire changed direction, sounded low and high. It got louder as the gunmen approached us. That night, the security personnel searching us when we entered the venue just seemed off. We had a bad feeling when we had to interact with them. It wasn't the 'I hate my job' look. It was that nasty sizing you up and down, and then where their eyes met yours, just pure hate. It's a feeling that I won't forget. I believe there were a lot of people involved in pulling the shooting off. We will never know the truth. Vegas is a tourist destination. If it gets out that there were multiple shooters and only one person was caught, our tourist economy will take a heavy hit." Well, folks, that is spot on. And just think about that. Especially the look in the security personnel's eyes. They knew something was going down and they were sizing everyone up. There is a lot more to this than I initially thought, folks. I knew early on this was a false flag, but to get this from an actual eyewitness is absolutely amazing. Now, folks, that account in and of itself is enough to make anyone stand up and take notice. But remember, I told you that she said something that the liberals were going to absolutely hate. Not that anyone who was involved with this isn't going to hate her account of what happened. But I want you to listen to what she said when she posted on social media. Because she and her husband went to a candlelight vigil a few nights later. And she was wearing a gun on her hip. And the news was there and got shots of her and her husband being armed to the teeth. And she went home and she posted on social media. And this is what I want to share with you. I want you to listen to her message to the left-wing libtards out there. It's good, folks. It really is. And I could have said it better myself. So this is what she posted on her Facebook page on October the 8th of 2017. I'm going to edit this as best I can. I'm still fuming over the a-holes who made hateful posts about Trump immediately after the shooting. Your contempt for those who were having the best times of their lives while attending a country concert and then were suddenly mowed down by a crazy man with several guns is beyond words. You have no idea what we went through that night. You don't have nightmares of the screams and people begging for the shooting to stop. You didn't see young adults suddenly wishing they were home with their mommies. Jay and I carry the heavy burden of survivor's guilt. We have no idea why we were chosen to survive, but we will not waste this opportunity to enlighten others. The media has stirred the pot of hate, and it was a matter of time before it boiled over. People have lost their damn minds after the election. Instead of being America strong and moving forward with open minds and giving our president a chance, they resorted to threats, crapping on our freedom of speech, disrespecting our flag and our national anthem, and physically attacking anyone who doesn't want to be a part of the mindless sheep club. You can assume that a majority of the concertgoers were white. Trump supporters, gun owners, military and police supporters, and religious. Well, folks, I'm white. I voted for Trump. I'm a military mom. I support Blue Lives Matter, and I love my gun rights. This made us the perfect target. Will it change my beliefs? Hell no, in capital letters. Contrary to belief, we don't wish harm for those who voted for Hillary. Hell, I was a lifelong Democrat until his last election. I was smart enough not to listen to the fake news. I researched both sides and their agendas. I watched their rallies, and I was disgusted by the media plucking out a single word from Trump's speeches and spinning the story to get all of you to hate him. All I want is for you to Google his speeches and listen for yourselves what he really said. Then, and only then, will you realize that you're a big plate of BS. The outpouring of support we received from people we met once or have hung out with a handful of times hit us hard. We realize that those closest to us and those who have known us the longest barely gave two craps about our survival. We fought for our lives that night. I was fortunate enough to wake up next to my hero. Jay saved my life that night, she's referring to her husband. I tripped over someone and went down hard. I could barely walk, and somehow Superman Jay was able to lift me up, feet kicking in the air so we could continue running to a position protected by police. To those inconsiderate a-holes posting F America, F the flag, F the anthem, you a-holes were considered friends. Your words hit us deeply as parents of a wounded warrior. Our only child almost died. I'm not a fake person. I won't post passive-aggressive crap and then smile in your face. You hit our family deeply and are no longer considered friends. The knee-jerk reaction is to push for gun control. This is what they want. No. We need to become educated, trained, and become more aware of our surroundings. I will live. I will learn. I will survive. I have no taste whatsoever for the fake news media Kool-Aid. I prefer whiskey. You think you're strong? Sorry to burst your bubble, but we're stronger. In closing, if this picture infuriated you more than the fact that lots of people died over a senseless act, congratulations. You're the problem. Vegas strong. And folks, there's a picture of their pickup truck parked in front of the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. God bless America. I almost lost it, folks. That is the most patriotic thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And to stand by Donald Trump, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. I'm out of time. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.